This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, Bruchim Habayim, welcome everyone. Tonight's learning is sponsored by our dear friend, Rani Benchamini, and his wife, Lilo Nishmas, Rani's grandfather, Mani Bas Rivka, Olav HaShalom, and Lekavoy, the two-month yard site for Zahava's father, Rafael Yaakov Yisachar Nasan, Natan Ben Chaim Yisrael HaKohen. So, V'gan Eden Tehemenu Chasam, they should have an Eloi Neshama, they should go Mechayel El Choyel, and they should be Melitze Yesharim for all of the respective families, for Simchas, Nachas, Psuras, Toivois, Arbias, Goyal Tzedek. Okay, so I want to speak about a subject tonight. This is a work in progress. First, I'll tell you a little something about Chanukah. And then I want to talk about what tonight is about. The Gemara says in Masechta Kedushin about the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em, Mechabdo V'Chayev U'Mechabdo V'Mosa. That the mitzvah of honoring one's father and mother is not only a mitzvah when they're alive, but there's a mitzvah to honor them when they move on to the Olam HaEmes. So let's just begin by way of introduction. Parshas Vayeshev. Parshas Vayeshev speaks about the dreams of Yosef HaTzadik. And we know, the Zohar HaKadosh tells us that the Kedusha of an upcoming Yom Tov is latent in the Shabbos before. So in this Shabbos, Shabbos Parshas Vayeshev, you have all the Kedusha of the Yom Tov of Chanukah. And yet you look in the Parsha, and you don't seem to see anything about the Yom Tov of Chanukah. You have Yosef having a dream about the bundles of wheat bowing down to him, and the sun, the moon, the stars bowing down to him. We don't seem to have any connection to Chanukah and Parshas Vayeshev. Vashem her enai, the Almighty gave me a certain insight, and I think that the Neros of Chanukah are actually alluded to in the dreams of Yosef HaTzadik. How's that? He's dreaming about bundles of wheat, he's dreaming about the stars, the moon, the sun. Where do we see anything about the Neros of Chanukah? It's very interesting. Yosef has his first dream. It says, Vayachalom Yosef, Vayagidu le'echav, Vayosifu oid senoisa, and they hated him more. More than what? More than what? This is the first dream. Yosef didn't have a dream before. It says they hated him, Vayosifu, oh, he hated him even more. That implies that Yosef had a dream before this that was not recorded, because after Yosef relates the first dream, it says, Vayosifu ol tzeno oso al chalom osav. They hated him even more because of his dreams, plural. What do you mean dreams, plural? He only had one dream so far. So the implication is, there's a hidden dream that Yosef had that the Chumash does not relate. What's this dream all about? We know one of the famous commentaries on the Mishnah is the Bar Tanura. The Bar Tanura wrote a commentary on Chumash called Amar Nekei. And in Amar Nekei, he reveals that Yosef had three dreams. Two dreams that are spoken about, and one dream that's behind the scenes. What's the third dream? This is really the first dream the Torah doesn't talk about. The first dream is like this. In Parshas Vayechi, after the Petira of Yaakov Avinu, and this is very important to tonight's shiur, after Yaakov Avinu passes away and the brothers and Yosef come back to Egypt, the brothers are sweating, they're schwitzing, because they think Yosef's going to knock them off now. You know, they figured Yosef only had rachamim on them so long as Yaakov was alive, because he didn't want to cause Yaakov tsar. But now that Yaakov is not alive anymore, the brothers were afraid that the brothers were afraid that Yosef would harm them. And the brothers are getting nervous and they're recoiling. And Yosef says, don't worry, relax. Vayinochem osam, he consoled them. Vayidaber alibam, he spoke to their heart. What did he tell them? Says the Gemara Megillah, he told them the following analogy. You remember this Gemara? Yosef tells the brothers, if 10 candles cannot put out one candle, how can one candle put out 10 candles? What's Yosef saying? He said, when the 10 of you surrounded me and you're about to throw me into the pit, that's 10 candles. You couldn't extinguish me. 10 couldn't put out one. Now I'm one. And I could harm you. I can't harm you. If the 10 of you couldn't harm me, I can't harm all 10 of you. So the analogy that Yosef gives is if 10 candles can't harm one candle, one shouldn't be able to harm 10. So why does he give an analogy about candles? You know, why didn't he say if 10 lions couldn't attack one lion, if 10 tigers couldn't attack one, if 10, I don't know, wild animals, why is he giving an analogy to candles? Says the Bar Tanura, Yosef did not make up this analogy. Yosef got this analogy from his first dream. In Yosef's first dream, he dreamt of candles. He dreamt of one candle, and 10 candles tried to put out that one candle, and the 10 candles couldn't put out that one candle. That was the first dream of Yosef. So you ask, if that was the first dream of Yosef, why isn't it in the Chumash? Why doesn't the Chumash report the first dream of Yosef? The answer is because when the brothers heard that Yosef said that he dreamt that 10 candles can't put out one candle, the brothers said, okay, so we can't harm you, big deal. That doesn't bother us that you think that we can't harm you. It didn't get under their skin. When Yosef started to have dreams of grandeur, that they were bowing down to him, that bothered the brothers. But when Yosef said, the 10 of you can't harm me, that didn't bother the brothers. So the first thing we need to know is that there's a hidden dream in Parshas Vayeshev. The hidden dream is, Yosef dreams, 10 candles can't put out one candle. Do you think it's a coincidence that in the Parsha before Chanukah, the first dream of Yosef HaTzadik is he dreams about candles? Think that's a coincidence? Obviously, this is the Parsha of Chanukah, and the first Chalom is Neirot. So you say, okay, not bad. Not bad. But why 11? So watch this. Herein lies the remez to all the candles of Chanukah. Anybody know how many candles are there on Chanukah? How many Neirot total? With the Shamash? 44. Mem Dalet Neiros. Mizmor Shir Chanukah Svayis LeDavid. LeDavid Gematria 44. So Yosef has a dream. He dreams 10 candles, can't put out one candle. How many candles is that? 11. He tells the dream over to the brothers. He says, I had a dream. They said, what did you dream about? I dreamt 10 candles, can't put out one candle. So that's another 11. How many are we up to? 22. And then in Parshas Vayechi, Yosef tells the brothers, 10 candles can't put out one candle, another 11. Then how could one candle put out 10? Another 11. The 44 candles of Chanukah alluded to beginning Parshas Vayeshev, until Parshas Vayechi. 11 in Yosef's dream. 11 when he says over the dream. 11 he tries to console them. The 10 of you couldn't extinguish me. Then I can't extinguish you. The 44 candles of Chanukah. You heard it here first. Okay, this is a remez to the 44 candles. Now, so you'll ask, what's it doing in Vayechi? What's it doing in Vayechi? Vayechi is after Chanukah. Watch this. You think it's after Chanukah. Yaakov Avinu passes away. Anybody know what day of the year does Yaakov Avinu pass away? Our tradition is he passed away Tesvav Tishrei, the 15th day of Tishrei, Sukkot. That's why Sukkot is Keneged Yaakov Avinu. And they cried for him for 30 days, and they embalmed him for 40 days. And how many total days of mourning for Yaakov Avinu? 70 days. Very good. Advanced mathematics tells us that 30 plus 40 is 70. So let's count. 70 days from the 15th day of Tishrei, that takes us 2 months and 10 days. That takes us to where? Chaf Hei Kislev. The 70 days for the mourning of Yaakov Avinu was over the first night of Chanukah. Then they mourned Yaakov for 7 days. On the next day, which is the final day of Chanukah, Zois Chanukah, Yosef says, my brothers, 10 of you can't put me out, how can I put you out? So the 44 candles come to completion in the conversation Yosef has with the brothers, when? On Zois Chanukah. So it begins Parshas Vayeshev, Shabbat before Chanukah, it ends Zois Chanukah in the conversation of Yosef and the brothers. That's the remez to Chanukah in this week's Parsha. Okay. Mechabdoi b'chayav, mechabdoi b'misai. We honor our parents when they're alive. We continue to honor them after they go. I want to talk about two people, two mortal enemies. One is Esav HaRasha, the red guy. The red guy. Esav would come tonight. He would check out the food. He would say, I'll go with the orzo. Haliteni na min ha'adom ha'adom hazan. Give me some of the red stuff. That was Esav. And who's the antidote to Esav? Who's the kryptonite of Esav? Who's the adversary of Esav? Who? Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef, like we read last week in Haftorah, V'hoya beis Yaakov Eish, u'beis Yosef Lehava, u'beis Esav Lekash. Esav is straw. Remember Rashi tells us at the end of Parshas Vayishlach, you read about all the chieftains of Esav. This guy, Magdiel, and Eliphaz, and all these Chevra, and there are a lot of guys. And we're starting to get nervous. How are we going to knock off all these guys? So Rashi says, don't sweat it, don't worry. Eile, Toldois, Yaakov, Yosef. Yosef, it's like the Pishtani, the guy who has all the flax, and he doesn't know where to put it, where are we going to store it? So we tell him, don't worry, just one spark will come out of the bellows, and the whole thing will go up in flames. Same thing with Esav. Esav has a big family. Yosef comes with one flame, and he could consume, he could burn up the entire family of Esav. By the way, it's very interesting. You know, Yosef destroys Esav. Yosef is the antidote to Esav. That is why Yaakovinu's hanging out by his father-in-law. What's he hanging out by his father-in-law so long? You stay a long time by your father-in-law. I mean, Baruch Hashem, I have a wonderful father-in-law, but some people, you know, they don't spend a lot of time by the father-in-law. They go, they say hello, and then they go home immediately. Take a fumiyad, toch kedei dibor. Right? In the amount of time it takes to say, Shalom Alecha, Rebbe Umori, you're ready at the door. So why is Yaakov Avinu spending so much time by the Shver? Reuven, Shimon, Levi. I mean, you know, most people, they have the first kid, they're by the father-in-law, the second kid. After a while, you know, you think the guy gets a little independent. Yaakov Avinu sticks it out. Zevulun, God, Asher, no, not until he has Yosef. Because he knows he has to face Esav. He can't face Esav without Yosef. Once Yosef is born, the pasuk says, "Vayehi kasher yolda Rachel es Yosef." Yaakov says, "Time to go home." Lavan, it's been nice knowing you. Time to go. Until Yosef is around, he can't go home. By the way, amazing thing. We're going to come to Parshas Vayigash, and Yaakovinu gets the good news that Yosef is still alive, and we have a very difficult pasuk. The pasuk says, "Vayomer Yisrael, Rav Oid Yosef Beni Chai." He uses the word Rav Oid. Rashi's bothered. Rav and Oid mean the exact same thing. Rav Oid Yosef Beni Chai. What's this double lashon? Says the Chumash Hadeshen. All these 22 years that we didn't know where Yosef was, Yaakov's very nervous because we don't know where Yosef is. Esav is a force of destruction. So as soon as Yaakov hears word that Yosef is alive, Vayomer Yisrael, Rav! You know who Rav is? Esav. V'Rav Ya'avod Tzair. Esav is Rav. Rav! Esav! Od Yosef ben Ichai, Yosef's still alive. Watch out. That's the pshat. Rav! Esav! Esav! I'll tell you another thing, just parenthetically. We're coming to... After Hanukkah, you have Xmas. A remez that Christianity comes from Esav. This is from the student of the Ramchal. When Rivka was pregnant, she heard prophecy. V'rav ya'avod tzair. The older brother, Esav, ya'avod, will worship tzair, a Jew. That's a remez to Christianity. The older brother, Esav, Ya'avod, he will worship Tzair, a Jew. That's a remez to their guy. Anyway, so we have this concept that Yosef is the destructive force of Esav. Let's try to understand that a little bit. Why is Yosef the antithesis and the kryptonite of Esav? What is it about Yosef that he has the zchus to be able to knock off Esav? First, we have to understand, who is Yosef's mother? Rachel. Why was Rachel zoche to have the antidote to Esav? So the answer is very simple. Rachel, her whole life, figured she's going to marry Yaakov. Yeah? Leah, she's always crying. Leah has very, you know, tender eyes. Why is Leah always crying? Because when Leah was in seminary, you know what the girls said to her? They took a picture of a red hairy guy named Esav. They put it on top of her bed. They said, this is your shidduch. This is who you're going to marry. And her whole life, she's weeping, crying that she's going to have to marry Esav. Now, when Rachel gives over Esav, when Rachel gives over Yaakov Avinu, right? Rachel had the opportunity to marry Yaakov. And she gave him over to Leah. When Rachel gives over Yaakov to Leah, then who's going to marry Esav? Rachel's going to marry Esav. So you have to realize, when Rachel gave up Yaakov to Leah, that means not only is she giving up Yaakov to Leah, that means she's going to have to marry Esav. In fact, when Yosef was born, she said, Asaf Elokim Escher Pasi, because so long as she had no kids, there's always a danger. Maybe Yaakov would send her packing and she'll go marry Esav. So it has to be that if she was losing out Yaakov Avinu, and she thought she would have to marry Esav, midah kenegen midah, God tells her, not only will you not have to marry Esav, from you, you will be zoche to have Yosef, who will destroy Esav. In life, when you do a mitzvah, you think you're giving up, you're not giving up. Not only did Rachel get Yaakov, but for the moment she thought she would lose Yaakov and marry Esav, she was zoche to have Yosef, who would destroy Esav. So let's talk about, how does Yosef destroy Esav? Why does Esav need to be destroyed? The guy's, he's a Russia. What zechus does Esav have? Why do we need a force to destroy him? I mean, the man, he's ba'al nara hamurasa, he's kofar ba'ikar, he's kofar ba'tchias ha'mesim, he's a murderer, he does every aveira in the book. What zechus does Esav have? Kibbut aveim. He has the big zechus of kibbut aveim. Big deal. What's so important about kibbut aveim? Is that such an important mitzvah that despite the fact that he's a murderer and an adulterer and he does every aveira in the world, but he does kibbut aveim? Why is kibbut aveim such an important mitzvah that it overrides everything? And why only Yosef could counteract him? Why not Reuven? Why not Shimon? Why not Levi? Kibbut aveim is a very difficult mitzvah to fulfill. In a way, it's the hardest mitzvah to fulfill. The Gemara tells us, there was an Amora who said, Ashrei mi shelo chaman. Fortunate is someone who never saw their parents. Why? Simply, it's very difficult to fulfill the wishes and the needs of a parent. Sometimes they get older, they have a difficult situation. It's not an easy mitzvah to fulfill. Esav was the greatest in Kibbut Aveim. In fact, there was a Tana by the name of Rav Shimon Gamliel. Shimon Gamliel said that I don't come to the toenails of Esav HaRasha and Kibbut Aveim. Esav, when he would honor his father, he would put on special begadim, he would put on bigdei chamudot, he put on a tuxedo, he put on a top hat, you know, he wore nice clothing. And Rav Shimon Gamliel says, I wear my street clothing when I honor my father and mother. Kibbut Aveim is a very difficult mitzvah to fulfill. You know, Esav would always say, what do I need the Bechorah for? Hine anoichi hoylech lamos. I'm going to die. I'm going to die. I'm going to die. Why is Esav walking around saying, I'm going to die, I'm going to die, I'm going to die? Says the Sefer Chassidim, what Esav was saying is, you know what I do every day? I risk my life to trap and hunt animals, to provide food for my father. Esav was moser nefesh. He risked his life daily to bring his father food. That's a very high level of Kibbut Aveim. Esav literally jeopardized his life to honor his father. Was there anybody ever in history who also risked their life to honor their father? Yeah, in this week's parsha. What happened in this week's parsha? Yaakov Avinu says to Yosef, hey Yosef, lechna es shalom achecha ves shalom hatzon. Go check out how the brothers are doing. Now, Yosef knew what that meant. If the brothers would see Yosef, they would kill him. What does Yosef say to dad? Vayomer Yosef el aviv, hineni akeda. The same lashon as by the akeda. I'm ready. You want me to kill my? You want me to get killed for you? I'm ready to do it. Yosef was mosar nefesh for kibbut aveim. Says the Shevet Musar. You know the Shevet Musar is Reb Eliyahu Itamri. If you want to come, we're going next month to Turkey, to the kever of Rabbi Elazar Itamri, Eliyahu Itamri, and Rabbi Chaim Falaji, and the Baal Smichat Chachamim. And Mitch wants to come.
Don't take pictures of the Christmas tree.
Don't. Thank you. Anyway, so Rav Eliyahu Itamri says, you know, Esav wore special begadim to serve his father. Did anybody else wear special begadim to serve their father? Says Baal Shiv et Musar. Ve'asa loy kisoynes pasim. Not he made for Yosef kisoynes pasim. Yaakov said, you know what? I need someone to counteract Esav. He made for himself, Yaakov made for himself kisoynes pasim, that Yosef should be able to honor him wearing the kisoynes pasim. So it's zeh l'umat zeh. Yosef versus Esav. It's a battle of the titans, you know? Monday night football, this is a matter of Yosef against Esav. Kibbut Avaim. By the way, that's why also, or the whole zechut of Esav is he's crying. He cried when he lost out the Bechora. That's why the only other person in Tanakh that's always crying, Yosef. Yosef's always crying. In fact, Esav cried 2.5 tears. The Medrash says he cried one tear from the right side, one tear from the left side, and one tear that didn't come out completely. In the Chumash, Yosef cried 8 times to be Mevatel Berov, the tears of Esav. It's Zel Umazah, Kibbut Avaim versus Kibbut Avaim. Now, here's what troubled me. You would think that if these two guys ever combated each other, ever confronted each other, that's going to be the real, you know, war. What's Yosef? Yosef's going to punch him out. He's going to punch him in the face. He's going to knock off his head. You know, you would have expected that at the Maran HaMachpelah, Yosef would come, knock off Esav's head, head going rolling. Did Yosef ever encounter Esav? Yeah, and it was like innocuous. It was like nothing really happened. Esav came, and Yosef stood in front of Mom, and all the other mothers, Leah, Bilhah, Zilpah, they went first, and then their children went, and then Yosef stood in front of Rachel, and Esav says, "Who's this? Who's this?" And that's the end of the confrontation. Nothing of note happens. But I would like to uncover that in this little encounter between Esav and Yosef, even though it seems like nothing happened, Yosef destroyed and shattered Esav lenetzach netzachim. Where? What? What happened? Watch. Let's talk about if Yosef needs to encounter and counteract the Kibbut Avaim of Esav, is there any way Yosef was better in Kibbut Avaim than Esav? Esav was pretty good. Nobody ever beat him. But there's a few details that Esav was lacking. Number one, Esav would always say, Yikrevu Yimei Evel Avi, and then I'll kill Yaakov. I honor my father so long as he's alive. The moment he dies, then I'm going to kill Yaakov. So Esav believed you have to honor your father and mother, but only when they're alive. Once they die, no shirim lezecher nishmasam, no kaddish, no azkara. Esav only believed kibbut avaim bechayav, nothing la'achar misa. Comes Yosef HaTzadik in Parshas Vayechi, and the moment Yaakov dies, what does Yosef do? He consoles the brothers. He says, don't worry, I honored you, I took care of you when Yaakov was alive. I will honor you and take care of you when Yaakov is dead. Mechabdo b'chayav, mechabdo la'achar misa. Siblings have to get along when the parent is alive, and especially after the parent is alive. The kibbut avaim does not stop when the parent passes on. In that sense, Yosef overcame the power of kibbut av of Esav. But I would like to suggest there's another dimension where Yosef overcame the kibbut avaim of Esav, and that is Esav honored his father. Yeah, he got his father buffalo, he got his father, I don't know what, deer, he got his father steak, and Yitzchak liked it, he enjoyed it. How about Rivka? Esav hated Rivka. Esav couldn't stand Rivka. Esav and Rivka didn't get along. You know, the Ramban says that when Rivka died, Esav didn't go to the Levaya. He didn't show up. That's why the Torah doesn't say Rivka died, so as not to embarrass Rivka, that nobody came to her funeral. Esav didn't come to his mother's funeral. He hated her. He hated her guts. So he was mechabed av, he was not mechabed aim. How about Yosef? I believe that is why, in the one encounter between Esav and Yosef, Yosef shows Esav, you know why I'm going to destroy you? Because I'm going to show you, not only am I Mechabed Av, but in our little encounter, while all the other brothers, the woman goes first, Bilhah, Zilpah, Leah, I will stand in front of Rachel, and don't you lay your dirty eyes on her. I'm Mechabed Imo. And if I'm Mechabed Im, and you're not Mechabed Im, with that advantage, I destroy you. So, Yosef didn't have to say a word to Esav. He didn't have to strike him, he didn't have to club him over the head. He just had to show his advantage in the world of Kibud Aim. There's an amazing phenomenon, and it exists both ways. Reb Aaron Leib Steinman, who was a Gadol Hadar, he observed that for the first time, basically in world history, in this generation, sometimes you could have people who are grandparents. They could be 50, 60, 70 years old, and they're taking care of their parents. Never happened before. You know, after the Holocaust, people didn't even have grandparents. Now people sometimes have great-grandparents, great-great-grandparents. You know the story about the guy, the Yemenite, in the early days of the State of Israel, he comes in, he wants to buy a life insurance policy. And you know, the Yemenites, they used to say they're 150, 160 years old. This guy comes in to buy life insurance. The lady says, you want to buy life insurance? You look like you're an old man. How old are you? He says, I'm 85. The lady says, you know, sir, you know, ad me'ev esrim, but we can't sell you life insurance. How old are you? You're 85? He said, what do you mean? Last week my father came in and you sold my father a policy. He said, how old's your father? My father? Father is 112. And we sold him a policy? She said, yeah. So she goes to the back, she opens up the file. Last week, they sold the father a policy. She says, okay, if we sold the father, we could sell you. Come in next Tuesday, we'll sell you a policy. She said, next Tuesday, I can't come in. Why, what's next Tuesday? I have a wedding. Whose wedding? My grandfather. Your grandfather? How old is your grandfather? Grandfather, it's 139. And he's getting married? No, it's not him. His parents are forcing him into it. So, you know, Rabbi Aaron Leib pointed out that in our generation, you could have people who are older, and they're taking care of their parents. Why in this generation did God give this opportunity that people, they're already grandparents themselves, they're taking care of their parents? Because we're now holding in the end of days. And we got to knock out Esav. We got to give him the knockout punch. And the mitzvah and the zchus of Esav is kibud av va'im. And therefore God gives us one final chance to overcome Esav. He gives us extra opportunities for kibud av va'im. And on the other hand, the savior of the Jewish people in the times of Purim was a woman by the name of Esther. And what do we know about Esther? Esther had ki ein la av ve ein la im. Says the Medrash that God said, the only one who could save the Jewish people in the times of Purim is someone who has no father and someone who has no mother. Why? Why only someone with no father and someone with no mother could save the Jewish people? I thought, you know, in order to counteract Esav, you need to be mechabed avaim, you need that tzchus. And here God is saying, only someone with no father and no mother could save the Jewish people. And by the way, you know, in the history of the Jewish people, a very high percentage of Gedolei Yisrael were Yisomim. An extremely high percentage. And here, the Medrash is saying, God said, in the times of Purim, only someone with no father and no mother could save the Jewish people. Says Rabbi Yonis and Eibishitz, the exact opposite, but the same point. Who does Esther have to overcome? Haman. Who is Haman fueled by? Fueled by his Zeda, his grandfather, Esav. What's the Zuchus that's fueling Esav? Kibud av va'im. If Esther would honor her father and mother from today, forever and ever, ever, she would never be able to outweigh the kibud av va'im of Esav HaRasha. However, there's a certain way to do a mitzvah in the most perfect sense, And that is not to do the mitzvah. What does that mean? We know the Gemara tells us in Masechta Brachot, Chishev lasos mitzvah, if you think to do a mitzvah, v'nenas, and you have extenuating circumstances, v'lo asan, you didn't do it, male olav kilo asan, it's like you did it. Now, what do you mean it's like you did it? Who considers it like you did it? God. That means God is saying, even though you did nothing, I give you a mitzvah. Now, when God gives a mitzvah, what kind of mitzvah do you think He gives? A lousy mitzvah, the way we do the mitzvah? He gives His kind of mitzvah. You know the story about this chatan v'kala? The kala is a multi-billionaire. The chasan is his father's a schlepper. You know, the father sells plastic bags in outside of Flatbush, okay? And the guy, he lives in a hut. And the kala is, they make a Rothschild look like paupers. You know, there was once a Rebbe in Yeshiva. He said, if I would be Rothschild, I would be wealthier than Rothschild. Because I would tutor on the side also. So the kala is a multimillionaire, and the chatan is a schlepper. So the father of the bride says to the father of the groom, listen, I'm going to pay for everything about this chasana. The flops, you know, flowers, liquor, orchestra, photographer, shaito, you name it. The only thing I want you to pay for is get your kid a suit. Get your kid a suit. The father can't even afford to get a suit. He can't even, you know. So he finds some basement somewhere. He gets like a used suit. And the chatan is coming to the chasana. And he's riding on the horse to the chasana. And it's rainy and the horse flips over. And the suit gets dirty and it rips, and he shows up to the chasana in an ugly suit, and it's ripped and it's dirty. And the father of the kala takes a look at it, and he says, "Oy vey, you can't come to the wedding like this. Fine, you tried to buy a suit. This time, I'll buy you a suit. But when I buy you the suit, I ain't going to the basement in Borough Park. I'm going to buy you a custom suit the way I buy a suit." So when a person does a mitzvah, the mitzvot that we do, they're always limited. Do we do it with Avas Hashem? Do we do it with Yiras Hashem? Is it with all the details? Is it a perfect mitzvah? We can never do a perfect mitzvah. There's one way to get a perfect mitzvah. When you don't do the mitzvah, and you yearn, and you wish, and you hope that you could have done the mitzvah, and God says, oh, you wish you could have done the mitzvah, I'll bless you, I'll give you a gift, it's like you fulfilled the mitzvah. Says Rabbi Yonah and Eibeshitz, the only person who could have counteracted Esav's, Haman's, Kibarav, is someone who never saw their father, never saw their mother, and their whole life they're thinking, oh, I wish I could have honored my father. I wish I could have brought him food. I wish I could have brought him clothes. I wish I could have taken care of him. And the whole life of Esther, she cried, oh, if only I could honor my father and mother. God said, you wish you could have done the mitzvah? I will bestow upon you the perfect mitzvah, and through that non-fulfillment of Kibbut Avaim, you will destroy Esav, and that's why Esther was the antithesis of Haman. So it works both ways. Sometimes, you never know. You know, people, we don't know why we have certain circumstances. Some people are given the good fortune, Baruch Hashem, they have parents, and they should have them, and they could be mekayim the mitzvah, and that's a great bracha. And if you don't have that bracha, there's an element that's an even greater bracha, because you could wish you could be mekayim the mitzvah, and God bestows upon you the mitzvah. You see, in life, it works. We never know. Nobody knows why we're in a certain circumstance. Some people have the opportunity to do mitzvah, but whenever you see someone doing a mitzvah that you can't do, ooh, this is the biggest opportunity of your life. Want to do the mitzvah. You go to someone who is making siyum hashas, great. You could barely read Hebrew. Perfect. Make sure you go to a siyum of big Talmud Chacham and say, I wish that I would have the ability to learn like them. And then God says, okay, you're making your best effort. You're trying. You come to shiurim. You try to learn. You're giving it your best shot. I consider it like you did the mitzvah. You learned the whole shas. Rav Avigdor Miller, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, he writes, one of the main purposes of tefillah is what we're limited in action. We have no limitation in what we pray for. How much money do I make already? How much tzedakah can I give a year? How much tzedakah can I give a year already? A few thousand dollars? How many aniyim can I help? But I could wish I helped all the aniyim in Klal Yisrael. How many yeshivot could I build? I don't know if I could build any yeshivot. But I could want to, I could be mispalel that Hashem should give hatzlacha to all the yeshivot. Can I build a Jew? Could go upstairs after 120 and God will say to him, oh, thank you for building the Beit HaMikdash and Yerushalayim. Beit HaMikdash and Yerushalayim, the only thing I built was a shed in my backyard. But you prayed, V'Yerushalayim ircha berachamim tosha. You prayed, you wished you could contribute to the building of Yerushalayim. Chishev la'asos mitzvah. You should know, most people think that, you know, in the morning when you're by Shacharit, you're basically in jail and you're not doing anything, but what, I got to go to Shacharit, otherwise my wife's going to think I'm a Gentile and the guy next to me in shul is not going to respect me. So I come to shul, I flip the pages, and as soon as I leave, now I'm ready to actually accomplish something. Just the opposite. When you're outside for 11 hours a day, what are you doing already? So you make a few bucks. What? How much could you make in the whole day? You make $100,000 in one day? Anybody? Even that amount. And what are you going to do with $100,000? So you'll support one yeshiva? It will take you forever to accomplish outside of the Beis HaKnesset what you could accomplish in one Shmona Esrei. What you could wish you would like to accomplish, you could accomplish in one Shmona Esrei more than your entire life in action. Yaakov Avinu says word to Esav, listen to this. Esav, you think you're a hotshot. You honored your father. Im lavan garti v'taryag mitzvot shamarti. He didn't say v'taryag mitzvot kiyamti. And also, v'taryag mitzvot shamarti? He didn't honor his father. Shamar means to wish you could. V'aviv shamar et hadavar. Yaakov said, you did it. V'taryag mitzvot shamarti. I wished I did all of them. That's better than you, says Chassam Sofer. What's so special about Kibbut Ava'im? In a certain sense, Kibbut Ava'im is the most important mitzvah in the Torah. Why? It's in the Ten Commandments. So is not worshipping idols. Now, is it a big deal when you go home at night? Are you drawn to Google a picture of the guy with the eight arms and to start being Kairim U'mishtachavim? I don't think it's such a big deal not to worship, but just because it's in Aseret HaDibrot, okay, it's important. In a sense, it's the most important mitzvah in the Torah. Why? You know, Adam Arishon, he did a big problem. Apple. He ate, it wasn't apple actually. It was it was chita, it was gefen, it was te'ina, it was etrog, but it wasn't apple. Nothing to do with Steve Jobs, okay? And Adam Rishon, he messed up. He ate the apple, he ate the fruit, and he ruined the whole world. Before Adam Rishon, people would live forever and ever and ever. People would be able to sit in Beit HaKnesset the whole day, nobody would have to go to work. There would be no Tsar Gidol Banav, there would be no problems. Adam Rishon ate one fruit, and he messed up the whole world. But not only did he mess up the world, he messed up the creation, and he ruined the trees and the animals and the whole Beriah, and he ruined the mitzvot. You can never do a pure mitzvah again. How do you do a pure mitzvah? Everything that was in the world was impugned, was ruined through Adam HaRishon eating from the Eitz HaDaas. He was mekalkel kol ha'olam, except for one mitzvah. The one mitzvah that didn't exist. Kibud Avaim. There's no father, there's no mother, says Rav Shimon Schwab. So the one mitzvah that retains its original status of pre-Chet Adam HaRishon is Kibud Avaim. If there's one way to bring Ge'ulah, bring the world back to the level it was on before the Chet of Adam HaRishon, it was Kibud Avaim. So if you have parents, you honor them. If you don't, you wish you could. And these two avenues of fulfilling the mitzvah, in a way, of course, Talmud Torah is the greatest mitzvah, but there's a dimension of Kibud Avaim, which is the greatest element of honoring the... That's why, do you remember when Yaakov Avinu comes in with the fruit to Yitzchak, what does Yitzchak smell? He smells
Gan Eden.
Gan Eden. Why does he smell Gan Eden? He only smelled Gan Eden? Yeah, because when you do Kibbut Avim, you smell Gan Eden Mikedem before the Chet of Adam HaRishon. He smelled the original Gan Eden. And therefore, we suggest that Yosef HaTzadik is the antidote to Esav, because yes, Esav was Mechabed B'chayav, Yosef is Mechabed La'achar Misa. Esav says, Yikrvu Yimei Eval Avi, Yosef says, no problem, Vayinachim Osam Vayidaber Alibam, he says, the ten of you couldn't extinguish me, I can't extinguish you. And Yosef says to Esav, let's have one little confrontation. There's one meeting between Yosef and Esav. And that meeting, we know everything. Esav comes and Yosef says, you're Mechabed Aviv, I'm Mechabed Imo. I stand in front of Rachel, don't lay your dirty eyes on her. And with that little encounter, Yosef obliterates the zechus of Esav forever and ever. That's why it's interesting. When Rivka tells Yaakov Avinu, bring dad the matamim, she says, bring the matamim, shema bikoli, listen to my voice. Why does she have to emphasize, listen to my voice? Because she knew she had to replicate the Gan Eden. Usually, when Esav brought in the food, Yitzchak smelled the Gan Eden of Kibbut Avim. So she said, now you listen to me, and we'll produce the Gan Eden by you listening to my voice. That's the emphasis of Shema B'Koli. So tonight, we gather together to learn Divrei Torah, L'Zchus, the patriarch of Rani's family and his father-in-law. And this is Begeder Mechabdo B'Moso. This is Kibbut Avim La'achar Misaso. And the main Kibbut Avim is that the children and the grandchildren, they follow a path that in the Shamayim, the grandparents and the parents are proud of and brings them nachat. And just to conclude, continuing in Parshas Vayeshev with the theme of Chanukah. You know, where does Yaakov Avinu tell Yosef to go? He says, go Shechem, Bishchem. They went to Bishchem. Bishchem. That's a very important word. Zohar HaKadosh says that after the 24th day of Kislev, which corresponds to the 24 letters of Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso Le'olam Va'ed, count it, there are 24 letters in Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso Le'olam Va'ed. Then comes the 25th day of Kislev, which is Chanukah. And Chanukah is for the 25 letters of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That's what the Zohar says. That when you're finished 24, Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso Le'olam Va'ed, you get to 25, which is the 25 letters of Shema. It says the Sefer Tzror Hamar. The reason why it's called Chanukah is because the Maccabim, they fought with the battle cry, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, Chanu, they were victorious, Chafhei, with the 25 letters of Shema Yisrael. Therefore Yaakov tells Yosef, it's Parshas Vayeshev. We're getting ready for Chanukah. Where do you go to get ready for Chanukah? Bishchem. Baruch Shem Kevod Malchuso. So we're almost on the 24th day of Chanukah. We should be zoche that after the 24th day, Baruch Shem Kevod Malchuso, we should be zoche Chanu Chafhei, which is the 25 letters of Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Our learning should be Zchus El Ilei Neshama for
Mani Ben Rivka.
Rafael Yaakov, Yisachar Natan Ben, Chaim Yisrael HaKohen, L'chai Olam Haba, B'Gan Eden, Tehei Menuchasai. Thank you so much.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.